Well, you know, I've been running with a New Year's theme in the sermons on Sunday mornings here now since actually the Sunday right before the New Year's holiday, and that's going to be true again today. We continue to talk about priorities and goals. It's going to be true all the way through January, so today and next week as well, and then we'll be on to something else. But so today we hit part two of what has now become a three-part sermon mini-series on becoming healthier people. And of course, that's appropriate. This is inspired in part because of the new year, and this is a time we often think about becoming healthier. It's also inspired by this 100-day prayer that the deacon board here at Calvary has been involved in. For 100 days, among other things, the deacons and I have been praying for our church body here that we will be more and more healthy people, collectively and individually, and that we will become more healthy physically, emotionally, spiritually, and socially. In the first sermon last week, I brought up some thoughts to you on how to become more emotionally healthy and more physically healthy. It's on the website in case you missed that. Today we're going to talk about becoming more spiritually healthy, and then next week we'll wrap up with discussing health in our social lives. And then, as I said, February hits, and we'll be back into a study of a book of the Bible starting in February. By the way, I love that new song today, The Good Father, and the line in there about, I am loved by him, it's who I am. And that was the point last week on the emotion, or one of the big points in the emotional healthiness, is that is our definition, is we are loved by the Lord. You can do that one again, Harlow. I like that one. It's really good. Now, becoming healthier does not always come easily for us. There's a reason that people joke about the breaking of New Year's resolutions every year. Change is not easy sometimes. And on that note, before we completely leave behind this idea of improved physical health, I thought I would share some commentary with you on the subject of struggling to become more physically healthy from a man who has some thoughts on the matter, and his name is Jim Gaffigan, and take a look with me here.
I know your wife. Your wife is a very healthy eater.
Yes.
And does she got you? Is she got you trying to be healthy?
I mean, you know, there's times, you know, when I feel like I just gave up. I mean, you know, at times I feel like I'm trying to get fat. You know, like a couple nights ago, I was eating a pint of ice cream, and I finished it because I'm American, you know? I took off the lid and I threw it away because I'm not a quitter,
yeah.
Right? And because I care about the environment. I was conserving energy by not refreezing it. And
I never heard that argument. That's fantastic.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I was eating a pint of ice cream and sweatpants like a man.
Yeah.
And my wife came in the room. She was like, Jim, are you going to eat an entire pint of ice cream by yourself? I was like, hopefully. Yeah. Unless you selfishly want a bite. You know?
Kale?
Kale, can we stop with the kale propaganda?
Kale has become, I never heard of kale, and then in the last couple of years, it's kale.
It tastes like bug spray. I looked at a can of bug spray, and it said made with real kale. kale is so good for you. It's just a trend, right? Kale is so good for you. You know, they could find out kale cures cancer, and I would still be like, I'm just going to do the chemo. You know?
No, you bring up a really good point because every time I eat anything now, it's got kale in it. I don't know,
right.
I don't know if it's like a California thing or it's also in New York. They put kale everywhere.
Well, and it's also people brag. It's just a health trend. Like there's a new health trend every 6 months. There's a new milk every 2 weeks, you know. Like, you're not supposed to drink cow's milk. Don't drink cow's milk. You should drink soy milk. You know, you should drink rice milk. And they discovered it's like drinking carbs. And they're like, you should drink almond milk. Because almonds make milk. Unless you have a nut allergy, then you should drink hemp milk, which is like a nut-free almond milk that's made from rope. You know? And if you don't like that, you can try this new milk that's called cow's milk. It's very big in Europe.
But, so you are so gluten free. You live that way. That's tough.
I'm trying to do the healthy thing, but it's just, you know, I think it's Whole Foods, right? I blame Whole Foods. They're just bored at Whole Foods. They're like, all right, what else can we sell these idiots? Give me a plant, not that one. That's poison ivy. Wait, can we make milk out of that? You know. They're just like, kale, kelp, charge $20 for it. And we're like, all right, okay.
All right. So, yeah, they're not so easy to change, and sometimes you just have to laugh about it, right? Oh, that guy's funny. All right, so there's your laughter tonic for the morning. Now we'll get into the serious work. So, yeah, but it doesn't come easy, but we do want to become more healthy, right? As we saw last week, our Creator wants us to become healthier people. The Bible provides for us a prescription for healthy living. And so our sermon title for today is Towards Becoming Healthy and Whole, Spiritual Health. And here we go. We'll dive in. What is step number one in becoming more spiritually healthy? Step number one I would suggest to you this morning is this. Clear away any obstacles that are between you and God. Clear away any obstacles that are between you and God. Sin is the typical obstacle between humans and their Creator. So is there a sin in your life that you are clinging to that's causing a major blockade between you and God? It needs to be dealt with if you want to become more spiritually healthy. Now, this entire sermon is going to be based on the assumption that everyone who is listening here has already confessed your belief in Jesus and made him Lord of your life. If you haven't done that, then that is the biggest step to becoming more spiritually healthy, and it must be taken for any of the rest of this stuff to matter. So if that's a step that you need to take in your life, I implore you to come and talk with me sometime, and let's get that taken care of, worked out between you and God. That's of primary importance, life and death importance, in fact, for you. But even for those of us who have taken that step and we've been saved by God's grace, we still sometimes cling on to sins in our own lives, and they can create these blockades that need to be removed. Sometimes the obstacle between you and God isn't sin per se. Sometimes there are doubts or questions that are bouncing around our minds about God, and they can hinder our relationship with God. This could be true for you both before you make a decision to follow Christ with your life, or even after. In fact, it was after in my case. I've been a genuine believer in Jesus since I was very young. But when I moved into my young adult years, I started to find that I had some doubts and some questions. I still believed in Jesus, but these things were nagging at me, and they became a barrier between me and God. I was having a hard time just relaxing in my faith and receiving the life that God offers in a relationship with him, because I had these obstacles. So eventually I did get serious about, like, really getting after it and finding answers, searching for answers for my questions. I made an effort to do that, and that worked. Not that I found an answer to every question you can think of about Christianity, but I found what I needed. I found some things to hang my hat on, or a foundation to stand on, very strong reasons to believe in Jesus Christ, and it cleared up the barriers for me. So if you want to become more spiritually healthy and you're experiencing obstacles between you and God, no matter what those obstacles look like, then step one, quite clearly, needs to be you got to identify those obstacles and remove them. You may need someone to talk to help you on this too. So that's step one. Step two in becoming more spiritually healthy is this. Walk the talk. Walk the talk. We need to be consistent. We need to live consistently with our belief in God. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then don't make up your own moral code. It seems to me that many Christians, sometimes we get in this trap of kind of thinking that we can decide what is right and wrong rather than by going what God teaches in the Bible. I want to suggest an example to you this morning. Many couples these days are living together before they're married, and that includes Christian believers. In fact, the odds are pretty good that someone or maybe more than one person listening to my words today here either at church or on the radio later in the week, is living with their boyfriend or girlfriend. Now, I want to say quickly that Calvary Baptist Church, no one here is living a perfectly godly life, okay? We are all people in progress, and we're not here to cast judgment upon each other, but we are here to encourage each other to be learning how God asks us to live and to be implementing those things in our lives. And I am here this morning to try to encourage all of us to be consistent in our thinking. So let's think this one through. If we believe in God, and if God's word clearly lays out for us that sex is for within marriage only, which it does, and for good reason, is it okay then for a person to decide that God probably is all right with a couple living together before marriage? Well, so many other church-going people are doing that. It must be okay, right? No, I mean, how can that be okay? If you're living together before marriage, you're having sex. I'm no fool. And sex outside of marriage, whether you are living together or not, is wrong, says the Bible. So if that's you this morning, please don't feel like I'm saying that I am better than you, because I'm not. None of us live perfectly in line with God's standards. But what I am encouraging you to do is to live out consistently your faith in God. Okay? God is the one who sets the rules, not human beings. Psalm 119:160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, if God has called something sin, don't call it good. Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. So let's walk the talk. Don't make up your own moral code. Submit to God's. Similarly, another sub-point here under walking the talk. Don't dabble in sin. Are you letting yourself be loose with some things that you know that God would steer you away from? Are you loose with alcohol? Are you loose with sexual things? Are you occasionally irresponsible and lazy? I don't know. You could draw a whole list of things. Could be any number of them. Are you dabbling in sin? Hey, you are a Christ follower. Don't go the world's way. James 4:4 says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God's." And James 1:22, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Don't dabble in sin. Let's walk the talk. One more subpoint there. Are you living like a disciple? You say you believe in God. You know that Jesus is calling disciples, people who are sold out for him. So are you living consistently in that belief? Are you living like a disciple? Are you trying? Or are you just kind of a cultural Christian? Are you just a church attender? Jesus said in John 12, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Jesus was looking for disciples. And again, I'll give you here my grandpa's paraphrase of Matthew 6:33. And I'm not trying to prop up my grandpa. I just really like the way he phrased this. Give first priority to Jesus Christ and the value of his kingdom, and everything else will turn out all right. Jesus is looking for people who will make him first priority in their lives. So let's be consistent with our beliefs. If we say that we're following Christ, let's really follow him. Let's try to put him first in our lives and live like disciples. Let's walk the talk. Now, if you're not walking the talk, it may not be a salvation issue for you. We know that none of us are completely able to fully walk the talk. We're all sinners, and Jesus died for us precisely because of that fact. We will all continue to mess up. So thank the Lord for his grace for all of us. So not walking the talk may not be a salvation issue for you if you've confessed your belief in Jesus. Although we know that the book of James reminds us that true belief will be followed in action, right? But even if it's not a salvation issue, Not walking the talk most definitely can mess up God's intentions to bless you and to bring you on the best path for you. All you have to do is flip that Matthew 6:33 verse around. Let's read the actual verse this time. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And we know by the context there that all these things is referring to food and water and clothing, provision. If you put God first in your life, he will provide for you, is what this verse is saying. So, okay, let's flip that around then. If you do not put God first, if you're not walking the talk, God may not provide for you. Not walking the talk may not put your salvation at risk, but it very well may hinder God's best from taking place in your life. It may hinder his blessing, and I don't think any of us really want that. So if you want to become more spiritually healthy in 2016, walk the talk, live consistent with your belief in God. Next one, if you want to become more spiritually healthy this year, step three now, do the activities that you know you need to be doing in order to become more spiritually healthy. You already know a lot of the answers to this question, how to become more spiritually healthy. Have you ever set a very serious goal in your life of becoming more physically healthy? Were you ever really serious about it? There were a few times in my life where I was going to commit to the full workout thing, right? I was going to go to the club and lift weights and all that stuff. And, you know, you wake up the next morning and you can barely get your hands up to your head to wash your hair. Oh, it hurts. I always felt like that was kind of a good pain, though. Weightlifting never really stuck for me, but running did. And I first got real serious about running right after college. And boy, I remember that first run. I was going to do it right this time, and I felt like, okay, it's my first run. I shouldn't push it too hard. So 1 mile, that'll be easy, right? I can just run one easy mile. I barely made that run. I was so sick at the end of that run. I remember being in pain. But you know, I kept doing that work. I kept doing the activity that it takes to be a runner. And eventually, 5 or 6 miles was doable for me without throwing up. I don't do 5 or 6 anymore. I've settled into a nice 3 mile routine. Running stuck for me. So I wonder if you've ever had a period of time in your life where you were committed to becoming more physically healthy. If so, you probably thought this, you probably had this thought at that time. You know, if I'm going to do this, I am going to need to do the activities I know I need to do in order to become physically healthy. I typed this phrase into Google this week. What do I need to do in order to become physically healthy? And the number one search result was from USA.gov. I clicked on it and it brought me to a nice list of things to do. Eat a variety of foods, especially fruits and vegetables. Eat foods low in fat and cholesterol, etc. Do a total of 30 minutes of constant physical activity, such as fast walking, most days of the week. Don't smoke, and you know the other things on this list. So you know the difference between the person who knows how to become physically healthy and the person who actually becomes physically healthy is that the person who became physically healthy did the activities that he or she knew they had to do. These are disciplines that need to be done in order to become physically healthy. And there are disciplines that need to be done in order to become spiritually healthy. Do the activities that you know it takes to become more spiritually healthy. So you know what they are already, but let's just go through them anyway. Some of this is from author Mary Anna Stalnaki. Schedule time for silence and solitude and for having conversation with God. Schedule it. Schedule time for silence and solitude and for having conversation with God. We know from our studies of the Gospels that Jesus did this routinely in his life. He made time for it. And we need to do this too. Pray, talk to God, spend some time listening, see if he'll say something back to you. Schedule it. Next one, schedule time to read and study your Bible. God said this to Joshua. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua and the people of Israel would be blessed by God if they meditated on his word day and night. The psalmist says in Psalm 119:11, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we need to be scheduling time to read and study our Bibles. One of the disciplines that will make us spiritually healthy. Okay, so meditating on the word day and night was just part of what God asked Joshua to do in that verse. The other part was, of course, obeying God's commands. This would include loving your neighbor as yourself. This would include if you're feeling God, if you're sure that God is asking you to do something, taking that step of faith and doing it. And of course, we've already talked this morning about not sinning. That's part of it too. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's the one that gets me. Do you love him? Similarly, in John 8, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hey, there's benefit to obeying God. The truth will set you free. There's benefit to being spiritually healthy. Regular worship, privately and corporately, that's another one of these disciplines, worship. What are more things that we know that we should be doing to become more spiritually healthy? Serving others would be another one. It's a spiritual discipline. Being involved in your church. Be here almost every Sunday. Students, be at youth group and at King's Kids. You know, be putting yourself into situations where you're going to be learning about the Lord. This is part of how we become more spiritually healthy. And don't just stop at attendance, everybody, but be involved in at least one other ministry here at church. Be developing friendships with members of this church body, other people who are trying to seek to follow God in their lives. Okay, so there's a list for you of disciplines, activities that you already know you need to be doing in order to become more spiritually healthy, just like that list of eating right and exercising that you need to follow if you want to become more physically healthy. 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in those games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that won't last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. The Bible tells us to leave behind the elementary doctrine of Christ. Go on to maturity, to spiritual maturity. We're to be growing spiritually, not floating. And we do this by going into strict training, says Paul there. We do this by doing the activities that you know it takes to become more spiritually healthy. I'm going to offer two more thoughts for you this morning on becoming healthier spiritually. Here's step four. If you want to become more spiritually healthy, be willing to receive correction. Be willing to receive correction. Like I said earlier, we're not here to pronounce judgment upon each other, but we are here to encourage each other in godly living. Sometimes that might look like a word of caution or a word of advice from one person to another in our church. Now, we always want to be careful here. First, a comment to that person who might be thinking about going to deliver that word of advice to someone else. You need to do it in love. You need to do it in love. Remember that whole thing about us all being people in process. Remember back in your own life when you didn't think in the same way that you think now. We're all growing in our spiritual maturity. And we're in process. So let's not get arrogant about our spiritual maturity. Compared to God's standard, we've all got a long way to go yet. So let's be humble. Come in humility, not in arrogance. Come believing the best in that person, believing in their intentions, and that wonderful biblical phrase, speak the truth in love. You know, it really would work best if this correction comes from someone who has been invited by the person being corrected to maybe hold them accountable. You know, you can do this. Ask someone, if you see something in me, I want you to come and tell me if there's something that I am off in. That would be an ideal scenario if you've invited them. If there hasn't been an invitation to do this, boy, correction works best if it's coming from a real strong relational bond that you've already formed with that person. You know, most of us don't like getting corrected by somebody we barely know. But I suppose on occasion there may be a situation that arises where you don't have a real strong relationship with this person, and there apparently is no one else better to go. And really, maybe this, you're just feeling convicted by the Spirit that this word needs to be delivered, and this person needs to be corrected in this particular area in their life. Well, if that ends up happening to you, again, just make sure you're very clear that you care about these people, that you believe in them, you believe in their intentions. You know, ask yourself, am I sure I'm the right person to do this? And if you are, come in humility and come in love. Think about how you would want to be approached. Okay, with that said, though, the point for today is that we all need to be willing to receive correction. Has anybody ever corrected you in the past? You have any memories of this? I hope they did it in a right way and delivered it in love. But even if they did it right, oh, that's hard to get corrected. I wonder if you're thinking of a time when someone suggested to you that you weren't acting in a right way. How did that feel to you? Did you get angry? Maybe you were just really embarrassed. I think those are very normal first reactions. And then maybe you went home and you stewed on it for a while, and then after you calmed down, you said to yourself, they are totally right. They are totally right. I am off. Be willing to receive correction in your spiritual walk. If it's offered in love and it's reasonable, you know, be open to hearing it at least. Especially if it's coming from someone who has walked with the Lord for longer than you have. Sometimes other people can see things that we have just become blind to in our own lives. How's that saying go? Iron sharpens iron, right? This is true for you and for me. So we're all asked by the Lord to be humble, to be teachable. Here's Proverbs 13:18. Poverty and disgrace comes to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser still, because wise people are willing to listen. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And then this next part is a good word both to the one giving the advice as well as the one receiving it. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So if you want to become more spiritually healthy this year, be willing to receive correction. Last one, step 5. If you want to become more spiritually healthy, use the fruit test to check your progress. Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are you exhibiting these characteristics in your life in increasing measure? If you are, then you likely are growing more healthy spiritually. If you're not exhibiting them, or you have stagnated, might be an indication that you have some more work to do in your spiritual walk. I know I've said something similar to you along these lines a number of times, and it really has been something I've used in my own life that I found to be quite helpful. And it is this: if you're not feeling peace on a particular day or about a particular subject, then maybe something is off in you spiritually. Maybe you're not trusting God enough with that situation. Maybe you're holding a grudge against someone that you really need to forgive and let go. Maybe somebody said something to you that just was really annoying, and you're just miffed about it. And maybe you just need to say, you know what? I can be humble. Just let it go. Let it roll off. I think that's a good test. Ask yourself on a regular basis during the day, am I feeling peace? And if I'm not feeling peace, Is there something off with me spiritually? Ask yourself what it is. Ask God what it is that's making you feel a lack of peace and work with him on it. I suppose you could do this with any one of those fruit mentioned in Galatians 5. So let's look at that list again and give yourself a little test right now. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are you exhibiting these characteristics and behaviors in increasing measure in your life? If so, you are likely becoming more spiritually healthy. If not, it might be an indication you have more work to do in your spiritual walk. Nobody is perfect when it comes to living a godly life, when it comes to living a healthy life. We all have our faults. And remember, please, that God loves you exactly where you are. You are greatly valuable to him right now. And he saves you right where you're at if you're willing to acknowledge him as Lord. But then he comes back to us in love and he encourages us to live in more godly ways and in more healthy ways. And all of these commands he gives are there for our good. Oh, it takes some work on our behalf, doesn't it, to become healthy, to become healthier spiritually. God clearly has decided that it's better for us if we have to work at it a bit. And I close with some themes that Harlow brought up earlier in praise and worship too. We have to work at it a bit. He asks us to seek, to knock, to ask. The good news is, if we do that, he will answer. And here's Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So do you want to become healthier spiritually in 2016? There's a prescription for it in Scripture. Step one, clear away any obstacles that are between you and God. Step two, walk the talk. Live consistently with your belief in God. Don't make up your own moral code. Don't dabble in sin. Live like a disciple. Number three, do the activities that you know it takes to become more spiritually healthy, like scheduling time for silence and solitude and having conversation with God, scheduling time to read and study your Bible, obeying God's commands, regularly worshiping God, serving others, being involved in your church. Step four, be willing to receive correction. And step five, use the fruit test to check your progress. We'll come back next week for our final health topic, social health. And you know what? There actually is more to talk about there than you would think. There's going to be some helpful things on the docket for us next week. And of course, if any of this is helpful, it's really because it all came originally from the Lord, right? Our good and loving Creator. Why don't we bow in prayer? Lord, I pray for all of us seated here today that we will leave 2016 being spiritually healthier than we are as we enter this year. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4 that we should train ourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So Lord, help us to give our spiritual health the priority that it deserves in our lives. Help us to get after clearing up any obstacles that are hindering our relationship with you. Help us to walk the talk and to live consistently. Help us to desire to do the disciplines that it takes to become more spiritually healthy and to grow with you. Mold us, Father, into being your humble servants, teachable people. And then, Lord, I pray that the wonderful fruit of your Holy Spirit will flow through us in increasing measure. Through us, that we'll experience it. It'll flow through us and out into the lives of the people we come into contact with. This is true life in us and through us. Righteous life, healthy life comes from you, Lord. You are the only true and wise God. We thank you. Amen.